Hallelujah. And we give God all the glory for an amazing Sunday like this that we can gather in His presence. My prayer for all of us this morning is that God will speak to us and God's word will come and encourage us, especially in this season. I am trusting that by the time we're finished with this, there will be a revival inside of our hearts to love one another, to want to serve God more, to press on in the work of God, to see that the people of God are growing and enjoying the presence of the Lord. Amen. If you can, kindly hold the hand of the brother or the sister sitting next to you. Let's share a word of prayer together as a family. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. You are a good God. Thank you that you call us your own. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave us your precious Son, that we can be called your righteousness. We thank you this morning. This morning, we lift up our hands, our hearts to you this morning, that Lord, touch our hearts, speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Cause your word to transform our hearts and our minds this morning. Let us live here not the same way we came. Let us live here with a deposit of your blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I am speaking to you about something God laid on my heart that I have titled Unity of the Spirit, the Church's Advantage for Spiritual Warfare. I want you to look to the face of a brother or a sister again and tell them, beloved, we are at war. And what I mean is you are not at war with the person you're saying it to. It is just a general declaration for you to understand that as a believer, whether you like it or yes, because you have subscribed to the family of God, you are at war. Because God has an arch enemy that is constantly rooting against him. And because you have come to be in the fold of God, automatically you are also at war. You have become a target for the enemy to come against you. And so you are at war. I want you to keep that even as we go through the whole sermon. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Now the Bible says that always be humble and gentle. He says be patient with each other. Turn to your brother and say, please be patient with me. Some people didn't say it. They're like, are you sure I should be patient with you? Hallelujah. But this is what the Bible is saying. It says, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Emphasis on because of your love. Now, verse 3 is where I'm heading. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. He's saying that we should endeavor, we should make every effort, we should contend to make sure that we can keep ourselves united. So it means that there is some work to do to keep the unity. And he says the way we can do that is that we're supposed to bind ourselves together with peace. As we go on, you will understand why the Bible said so. Now, I want to begin like this, looking at the church of God. When you study the word of God, you see different portrayals of the word of God, of the church of God. The church is portrayed as a building. In Ephesians 2, he says that he's building us together as a habitation of God in the Spirit. The Bible also talks about the church, and he says the church is the foundation and the pillar of truth. The Bible also talks in two ways about the church of God as a bride. And also, when you study carefully, you also see that the church of God is an army. Amen. Jesus said something in Matthew 16, verse 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Some weeks ago, I did a teaching on that scripture from here. Maybe if you go through our archive and you search for our message, you will understand it. Where describing the gates of Hades, basically, so in ancient times, gates were the place where councils and elders meet, had strategies and plans. So when the Bible says that the gates of hell, it was basically talking about their strategies, their activities, and all the strongholds of the enemy will not be able to overcome his church. So understand straight from there that in that scripture alone, there is a semblance of war happening, because the enemy, the gates of Hades, would want to try and overpower the church. But he has said in a promise that I am building my church, and no matter what the enemy does,
in any form of war that he wage, he will not be able to overcome my church. Amen. Now, the reality of it now in our present day is in Ephesians 5, where he's constantly building his church. In Ephesians 5, he says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. And the Bible says he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. 28 says, for a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. 29 is where my emphasis is. He says, no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. So he's making an example saying that there is no individual here who will wake up in the morning and pick a cane and start. What you do is that you take good care of your body. You feed it and you nourish it. And because we have become members of the body of Christ, he is feeding and he's nourishing us every single day, because he is building us up so that we can ultimately become that glorious church, that bride that he's having unto himself. Amen. So in this present time, what God is doing is that he is building his church. And the Bible says in verse 30 that we are members of his body. Take note of this as we go on. But ultimately, this is where it is going to end, so that you see the bride army context of the church of God. In Revelation, Revelation 19 from verse 7, he says that let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is in the future. And he says, and his bride, the bride that we just spoke about, that he is nourishing and feeding, he says he has prepared herself. So at that time, the bride has already prepared herself ready. Now, this is why he says in verse 8, she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. That is his church. Then I saw heaven opened. Verse 11, I just jumped to verse 11. And a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. That is our Lord Jesus. For he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. Look at verse 14. He says, the armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen. Hold on. Where did we see that same verse? In verse 8, she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. That is the church. So he's saying that there is an army, the armies of heaven, same dressed with finest of pure white linen, following the Lord Jesus. So understand that in the end, when he is coming back to wage war, he is coming back with his church. That church the Bible refers to as the armies of heaven. Hallelujah. So people of God, understand that we are his bride. He's preparing us, but we are also his soldiers. That is why I started by saying you are at war, whether you like it or yes. You can't, this one, you just cannot opt out. You can't say, I am a believer, but I don't want to fight in the army of the Lord. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Now, this is where it begins to get interesting. If we are part of his army, then I believe Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 onwards is a scripture that we cannot run away from. If you take your time and read Ephesians 5 through to 6, you will see that in verse 5 is where he talks about the bride. And it walks straight away into 6, where he begins to talk about the army. So he's describing his church from 5, and into 6 he starts talking about the army. And this is what he says. Beloved, we have been called to arms, to pick up arms. Amen. I'm not saying go and pick a knife and take it out. These are all the realm of the spirit talk that we are having here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12, this is a final word. He said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Turn to someone and say, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Hallelujah. And he says, put on the whole armor of God, or put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Remember, he has said, I am building my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the strategies of hell and of the devil will not be able to prevail against it. So he's now beginning to show you how you'll be able to stand in your place as part of that army of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against all, not some, all the strategies of the devil. And he says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against every evil spirit in the heavenly places. So be strong in the Lord is actually not a suggestion. It is a mobilization order for the entire body of believers. We are commanded to put on the full armor of God, not even some, all, put everything on. Amen. Because when you put it on, we shield ourselves so that we are not exposed to the devil. Keep that in mind as we talk about unity. It will begin to make sense shortly. When you continue from verse 13 to verse 17, he begins to list the armor, talks about the belt of truth, which is more like the core to hold everything else. Sorry, the projection is just putting them in the wrong place for me. And it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, talks about the shoe of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. This is not the time to go through all of them. That in itself is a teaching on its own. But just so you know that these are the things God wants you to put on. But look at verse 15. He says that for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In the future, he says that the bride has prepared herself. Because of that, she qualifies to be in the army of the Lord, to fight in the law, in the war of God. Here he says that put on the shoes that comes from the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. In our preparation as the children of God, one of the things that we should be aspiring to is peace. Ephesians 4 verse 3 tells us the same thing. We should strive for unity amongst us by binding ourselves together with what?
Peace.
Are we connecting the scriptures as we go? I want you to be following along so that you begin to see what God is telling us. Amen. There is something about Roman legends in the past that they fought in such a way that they literally moved in formations. So that the way they set up their armory and everything, when they stand in defensive position with their shields and everything, it's impossible to be able to move them. And none of them was fighting in isolation. If you decide to go and fight in isolation, you are in trouble. Because the armory itself was not designed for isolated combat. There's a bit of feedback over here, so I'll come back here. And it is the same analogy Paul used for the church to say, we should put on this armory and we should stand in combat together. It makes sense when you look at the next verse that I'm going to. Verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. But he says that we should do all that by watching with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is where it becomes very interesting. When you look at all the armory that he talks about, he never added prayer as one of the armory. When you go home, take time and look at it. He lists everything, and then in verse 18, he says, when you have put all this together, now pray with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. And he says that we should be watchful thereunto, and we should persevere and watch thereunto for all the saints. Understand that when you have put all these things on, the engine that makes it run is prayer. If we get the prayer right, we will begin to understand how peace works with prayer, because I'm going to go there shortly. So Paul tells us that the tactical advantage we have as believers is that we should be properly attired because we are soldiers of God. Now, the way we get that armory to work is after you have put it on, pray with all kinds of prayer, and you also have to watch thereunto. Amen. So it is not just enough to put it on. You put it on and you pray. That is why we invite you every Monday to come so that we pray together. And the emphasis here is on communal prayer. Amen. So that we all join hands and forces to pray together as the church, as the army of the Lord. Now, this is it. When you look at Ephesians 6 verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Greek word he used there for being watchful actually means sticking your head out to observe the horizon. Because we are soldiers of the Lord, he wants us to be in a position where at any point in time, we are not relaxed. We are actually pulling our necks to see, is any enemy coming? Is any attack coming? So it's not like we are there waiting. Something happens, then we spring into action. But as the people of God and as his army, we are in constant ready position, pulling our necks, seeing what is happening. If the enemy is trying to attack, all he's trying to say is that as the people of God, having been dressed as his soldiers, we need to be very watchful and discerning, because the way the enemy is able to invade and mess up the unity is when our discernment dies, is when we are not praying. So he says that we should constantly be praying and we should be constantly watching. No wonder Jesus also said the same thing, that watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. The enemy's agenda is that he doesn't want God's church to progress. He doesn't want God's agenda on earth to be materialized through his church. And what he will do is that he will constantly go forth trying to sow discord between God's people. You see, sometimes we think that the opposition against God's church is always going to come from outside, that people who don't believe in God are only the people that they will come against God's church. One of the things the enemy tries to do is to try and sow discord amongst ourselves. If he knows that if he can succeed in causing confusion amongst the worship team, on Sunday there is trouble because this person doesn't want to stand close to this person to sing. This person is saying, oh, okay, I don't even like the worship leader again. She did this thing and I don't like, I'm not coming again. Ultimately, what will happen is that the church will begin to disintegrate because confusion will begin to, it grows if you don't watch and kick it out. That is why he says we should be watchful. Stick your neck out by discernment. What is the enemy trying to do in the church of God to try and break us? So it is very important that we assume that posture and never go off guard. Have you ever seen a soldier at a post and you go and the soldier is sitting down relaxing, probably scrolling on the phone, checking TikTok and everything? It doesn't happen. When a soldier is at post 24/7, their focus is that I need to keep my post. I need to check and see that there is no enemy invading. And that is what God wants us to do as a church, not church leadership. All of us. Because if I am looking out for you, you are looking out for me. And we are all making sure that the enemy, we are not giving the enemy place to come amongst our mess. The church of God will march forward. Amen. So, now let me tie it all together so that you see what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. This is our anchor scripture. He says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says that we should pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we are watching for all the saints and we are continuously praying for all the saints. Now, this is why. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He says, do not worry about anything. When the enemy is trying to sow seeds of discord, when the enemy is trying to attack us, he says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. So God is saying that we should be united in the spirit by binding ourselves together with peace. This is how we get the peace. He says that when we keep on praying about everything, as Ephesians 6 verse 18 tells us, he says that God's peace, we will begin to experience that peace. And because of that, he will guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. So that when the enemy is trying to come amongst us, trying to look for weak spot amongst us to come in, because we are watching for each and everyone. When I see that brother is not coming to church, that brother is beginning to move away from church, we go close to him and say, brother, what is happening? Why are we not seeing you in church? Is something the matter? Is it something we can help? We are continuing to support you in prayer. We will stand in prayer for you. As we continue to do that, we are basically building ourselves where individually we have experienced God's peace, so that when you do something against me and my first instinct is like, I want to draw away from the person, I begin to feel the peace of God. And like we read in verse 2 of Ephesians 4, that we should love one another and we should be patient with one another. You realize that it becomes easy for you to be patient with that brother and not move away from that brother. Amen. We are in a generation and in a time where it is very easy for you to take offense and leave church. I tell people, whatever you try to find in the church of God, you will find. If your goal is that you want to find evil, you want to find bitter people, you will find it. But if your focus is that you want to find blessed people, you want to find people who love God, you will find it. And so God is telling us this morning that our focus needs to be right. And our focus is that as a church, we should stand as an army. And an army that is watchful and praying. Beloved, we need to pray a lot. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for each other. You see, sometimes when you see people and you ask them, oh, do you pray a lot? And they're like, oh, normally I don't know what to pray. I just pray 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and that's all. The simple question I ask them is, if I ask you to pray for your pastor, pray for your church leaders, pray for the different ministries, pray for even your colleagues, how long do you think that will take you? So if you add that to your own prayers, how long do you think you can pray? So when people say, oh, when I start praying, I don't know what to pray, it's because your concept of prayer is that I pray for me, myself, I, and sometimes if my family is lucky, I pray a little for them. If that is your concept, then prayer will always be difficult. But if your concept is that as a soldier, God has called us to stand for one another and pray for one another, we should be discerning to know when things are not going right with our brothers and sisters and pray for them, then we'll be at a very good place. Amen. And so this morning, God is calling us onto prayer. If we want to see unity, we have to pray. Because when we are praying, the peace of God will begin to surround each and every one of us. So that it will be very difficult for us to pull back because of offense. Amen. Because other than that, the least thing, I am out of here. I am not doing this thing again. Amen. But God is calling us to that place where we will come of age and we'll be able to love one another, forgive each other, and press on as a bride that is being prepared. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 11. I'll just read through this and then we finish. He says, and when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, that was Paul talking to the church in Corinth. He says that I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us. And he says, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. He was basically saying that, look, we know this guy, that the Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a deceiver right from the beginning, and his whole goal is that he wants to try and sow discord. And because of that, we will not give him place. We will not allow him to outsmart us. And that is the posture as the army of God we need to have, that we will not let him outsmart us. We know his ways already from the beginning, that he's a deceiver. And because of that, we will not let him place in our midst. If we all resolve to do that, this place will be one of the best places in Waterford that you always want to come to. Because the church of God will be growing. There will be unity, unity of purpose, and whatever we set our minds to do in the name of God and by the strength of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to do it. Amen. So 1 Peter 5, 8 says that we should be sober-minded. We should be watchful because the devil, our adversary, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And he says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. He says, resist him. You can only resist him when you are properly attired and you are praying. Amen. So, trying to bring everything to an end. So, your spiritual attire is not just an individual choice. It is a corporate responsibility that we all have to put it on. Because we are fighting together in a formation, you cannot come into that formation, army formation, with plain clothes. Does that make sense? Have you ever seen soldiers going to war and someone comes in with a suit like mine, says, I'm ready for war, just like this, with shiny shoes, yeah. In fact, you are dead on arrival. Because there is no protection and anything that is coming can attack you. And if we are fighting in a formation where you're supposed to keep a certain post, if they get to me, you've literally exposed the rest of the team. Amen. So when the enemy is coming in, he's literally looking for who he that is exposed, so that by that route, he will be able to gain access into the church of God. And that is why it is our responsibility to make sure every one of us is growing in the Lord. Amen. Okay, so when the entire body rises together, the enemy does not find any weak points to exploit. Our greatest strength is a properly adorned church, keenly watching by discernment and interceding continuously for the entire body. If you missed everything I have said, the last thing is your take-home message that you need to take home with you. Amen. All right, so we are not meant to stand alone. God did not call you as a solo Christian. He has called us to walk together as a family into heaven because we are members of his body. He didn't call you as a leg to walk alone as a leg to heaven. Amen. He didn't call you as a hand to say, okay, hand, you alone, go to heaven. You have become part of his body. And so we do not stand alone as individuals. Our strength is found in our collective readiness. Amen. Watch for one another. This is something that as a church, we need to be aggressively doing. Always watch out. That is why I also encourage people that please find yourself in a ministry, in a department in the church, and serve. Because if you are serving and we are not seeing you, the people in the ministry will start searching for you. Amen. So please make yourself available to do the work of God. And finally, pray without ceasing. Intercede for all the saints. Beyond your personal prayers, please pray for the church of God as well. And like he promised in the beginning, he's building his church, and the verdict is that the gates of Hades will not prevail against that church. But ultimately, we need the unity of the Spirit to keep going so that the gates of Hades will not prevail against his church. Amen. Before we pray, this brings me on to this. Because ultimately, what we intend to do with International Sunday is that we want to be able to pray for our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted in very difficult terrains, and also pray for people in war-torn areas. And we want that International Sunday to be a day where we come to show all our culture, we come to show everything, but also a time where we can pray. Amen. Where we intercede for the nations and we intercede for one another. Amen. So that International Sunday, if you want to pray for me in any language you want to pray, you're allowed to pray for me in that language. Anything you're comfortable saying to God to help me, as I also pray for you, you're allowed to do it on the day. So on the 31st of May, please take note. Can you give me the other? On the 31st of May, we are going to have an International Sunday here in Maranatha Christian Community Church. Somebody is not excited as I am. It is going to be an exciting day where we come here and we showcase our different nationalities that are represented in the church, because he has called us out of all the different nations to become a people unto him. So that even though in our different nationalities, we still all can say that we are members of his body. And there is that unity that binds all of us together. Hallelujah. Is it there? Just before I sit down, it's just a message from our young-looking, fearfully and wonderfully made pastor, just for International Sunday. Okay, so scroll down. So very soon, today we are officially launching International Sunday. You will see, we will share this around so that you'll be able to see everything that is going to go on with International Sunday. But just a message from our young-looking pastor. International Sunday is a special annual event dedicated to celebrating the diverse nationalities that make up our church. In Christ, he has made us all to be members of his body. And so we celebrate International Sunday in the spirit of unity. You just heard that. Knowing that we are members one of another, this year's theme is the Church of God, persevering and prospering through tribulation, as we want to use this celebration as an avenue to intercede for our Christian brothers and sisters in persecuted countries and war-stricken areas. Be blessed as you enjoy our fellowship. Amen. So please, let's start getting ourselves ready for International Sunday. We need people to volunteer to help with setting up. Also, we want to ask, if you're here and we don't have your national flag, we have some from last year. Please, if you're here and you know that you've not given us your national flag, and last year you didn't see your flag up here, do well to give us your flag as soon as possible. Amen. Also, myself and Siva, who is the international committee head, will be around. We want people to volunteer to be national heads for their various countries. Amen. It helps with what we are doing. Otherwise, we have to do most of the work ourselves. And we don't know your country like you know it. So please help us so that we can do this to the glory of God. Amen. We need people to volunteer to help with audiovisual setting up. So if you want to help with organizing, also see Walders after service and let him note you down. Amen. All right, let's share a word of prayer even as we bring our message to an end. Our Father in heaven, thank you this morning. Thank you that you talk to us about unity. We give you glory, we give you honor and praise. Lord, help us. Help us to be able to walk in unity by binding ourselves together with cords of peace. Help us to be a people of prayer. Help us to be a people of discernment. We'll be able to discern for one another. We'll be able to pray one for another so that we will be unified. We will stay in unity. We will love one another. We will be patient one with another in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May the Lord be good to you this week. May his hand be upon you. May his favor be upon you. May his mighty right hand go ahead of you and work wonders for you. Let the weak be good to you. May you be prosperous in all that you do. May the enemy be stopped for your sake. And may you be blessed, you and everything that is yours, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please make sure you drop your tithes and offerings before you leave.